So this is actually very very fortunate. So we have a grandson of Balto-Kea. We have an actual Balto-Kea with us. So our topic today is going to be exploring the mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar. Now, I said the mitzvah of blowing the shofar. That already is a little bit, that brings us actually to the heart of the question, which is, what is the mitzvah of shofar? Now, does anyone know the bracha that we make on the shofar? I think Eddie would be the go-to person for this. You defer? So does anybody want to Google it up? Okay, so hopefully we'll jog our memories while we do this sheet over here, and then I think it's going to pop back into someone's mind, all right? So there's a huge question, a huge machlokus. If the mitzvah of shofar is to blow the shofar, it's the tekiah that someone makes, or is the mitzvah the shmia, the listening to the shofar? So we're going to look at this Rambam over here in Simon Yud Aleph. Rambam has a question. Well, not Rambam has a question. Soloveitchik is going to have a question on it. What we want to pay attention to in paragraph number one in Simon Yud Aleph on page one is, what kind of shofars are you never allowed to blow from, meaning you'll not fulfill your mitzvah if you blow from them? And which kind of shofars are you not ideally supposed to use, but if you use them, your yotzei the mitzvah? Okay, so now follow along and notice which ones are which. Kasav Rambam in Perek Aleph mi Shofar Halacha Gimel. Shofar shel Akum, a shofar that's from a guy, ein token bo lecharchila. So let's say a non-Jew happens to have a kosher shofar. You should not use it lecharchila. You should not use it initially. Ideally, you don't use it. But if you do happen to, Eddie brings that to shul somehow, you got it from a non-Jew, then still everyone fulfills their mitzvah. We don't need to redo all the tekiyos. Now, even if we did redo the tekiyos, does anyone know how many tekiyos we actually need to do? Halachically. 30. 30, right. The 100 is more like Kabbalistic stuff. They got it added on afterwards. 101 to undo Sisera's mother's cry. There's a lot of really good drusha material. But technically, as long as you hear 30, your yotzei, the chumras on top of chumras, because really, you don't even need more than that. You only need 3 sets. But 30 already is making sure we cover all of our bases, because they weren't sure back that, well, there's machlokus. There was different ways to do a trua. And different communities figured out different ways. So there's a machlokus. Is it that all truas that they did were acceptable? It's just that maybe people who weren't as educated in Torah wouldn't know that all of them were acceptable and think that everyone came up with their own halachos. Or maybe we actually, the Rambam says, we had a suffix. We didn't know which truos were the valid way to do it. Now, some truas could be like what we do, which is 9. That's what we call a trua. But another kind of trua that somebody would do would be more like the shvarim that we do, which is 3 long ones. So there was all sorts of variations back then. And in order to make sure we covered all bases, we made sure to do what we colloquially call a trua today, which is 9 quick ones, 9 small ones, and a shvarim, which is 3 medium-sized ones. That being said, going back to our feature presentation, Mishal ir hanidachas im takabo lo yatzin. Ir hanidachas is a, anyone here learn third parak of Sukkah? Anyone get to do that? So lulav hagazel, that's a very relevant parak here. It talks about an ir hanidachas. So an ir hanidachas is a city where a lot of Jewish people decided to go wayward and they worshipped idolatry. So there's a mitzvah that if they are worshipping idolatry, we have to wipe out the entire city. In addition to the people of the city, we also have to destroy all of their property as well. So the question is, in Lulav HaGazel, let's say I find a lulav in that city and I want to shake it for the mitzvah, my yotzei. The answer is you are not. In addition to there being a prohibition to benefit from avodah zarah, from idolatry, you're also, there's something called kitutei michta shirei, which is, since there's a mitzvah to burn down the entire city, to burn all the property in there, we view it halachically as if that lulav is already burnt. So similarly, oh yeah, that's Marissa over there. Thanks. Similarly, when it comes to a shofar as well, if a shofar is found from a city of Avodah Zarah, it cannot be used, and if it's used, you do not fulfill our mitzvah. So Not that we have any Erin Idachuses today, but ideally we shouldn't go after finding any for our purposes. And thanks for bringing the yogurts.
Thank you.
Now we have some semblance of, we can pretend we're healthy. Yeah. I don't have to feel as guilty. I don't have to say that I'm killing all of you, right? Okay. And now, moving on. Shofar HaGazal Shefak HaBo. This is a surprising one. Yatza. Now, if you steal someone's shofar, you fulfill the mitzvah. This is a little bit different than when it comes to the lulav. Why? She'ein ha-mitzvah ela b'shmiyas ha-kol. The mitzvah of a shofar, this is important line from the Rambam, is in listening to the sound that emanates from the shofar, not to blowing the shofar. Because the mitzvah is blowing the shofar, well, I guess you could say that us listening to the Baal Tokea, it's like Shomea Ka'onad, which is a bit debatable. So the same way someone makes a bracha, and it's as if you said the bracha as well. This is a very common idea. So back when we didn't have our own Sidurim and no one knew Shmona Esrei by heart, so the Chazan's job wasn't just to have a good voice, it was to memorize davening, to know the liturgy by heart. So when the Chazan would say, and that's why we have Chazar Sashatz, because back then, that was the primary Shmona Esrei. So when the Chazan said Shmona Esrei aloud, we listened, and even though only his mouth was moving, it was as if we were saying it along with him as well. So a similar idea here, that perhaps when the Chazan blows the shofar, the Baal Tokea blows the shofar, it's as if we're blowing it along with him. But no, the Rambam says that's not it. The mitzvah is simply to listen to the sound emanating from the shofar. And since a sound is not something physical, it's not the shofar itself, even if someone uses a stolen shofar, which is not ideal, you still consider to have fulfilled the mitzvah of shofar, because you, a sound is not something that's stolen. A sound is something that's not stolen a halacha.
That's the Shmoa kol shofar.
Exactly. Right, so in the bracha, it's l'shmoa. So, good. I thought that if we did a little bit of the halachas, it would jog our memory. So
even for the Baal Tekiya, he's actually fulfilling mitzvah by listening
right
to his own sound, not by blowing.
Exactly. So the Baal Tekiya himself, even, is yotze by his own sound, the same way as everybody else. Now, this is a separate sugya to itself. If you're saying that sound is something that can't be stolen, what about in the music industry when it comes to pirating?
Right.
So if sound is something that somebody can't own and can't be stolen, then if I pirate some music from somewhere, I'm not stealing anything physical. I'm just taking a set of sounds that was recorded. Is intellectual property something that could be stolen in halacha? So there's a whole sugya about that. This is an agadic source, but I heard it brought into the discussion. It says, so we say Torah Tziva Lana Moshe by Rosh Kilas Yaakov, right? So the Torah is a Morash, it's a heritage of the Jewish people. We learn from there, since our heritage of a non-Jew studies Torah beyond the Shema Mitzvah Bnei Noach, the seven Noahide mitzvot, that it's as if he stole the Torah from us. So there seems to be some idea in the Gemara that intellectual property could be considered actual property, but it's hard to make a case for that. Anyway, not our discussion, but I thought an interesting tidbit. Then he says, just to bring home the point, let's say, that's what's happening. The only person holding the shofar here in the minyan in the base medrash is Eddie. But the rest of us are just, we're not holding the shofar, we're not touching it, we're not lifting the shofar. Still, v'ein b'kol din gezel. Why? Because the shofar is not about holding the shofar, it's not about interacting with the shofar itself, it's about listening to the shofar. V'chein, shofar shel ola. So now let's say someone brings a carbon ola, and then they take the horns from one of the sacrifices in the temple. Then, still, lo itakeabo, you should not use it. V'im taka yotza she'im b'kol din mi'ila. So there's something called mi'ila, which is desecration, or it's I'm not sure what the exact English translation is best for it. But basically, you're taking something that belongs to God, that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, and you're using it for your own purposes. That's what mi'ila is. So you take a horn from one of the animals which is being sacrificed for a carbon ola, that is mi'ila. Still, even if you take a shofar, the horn from an animal which is being brought as a carbon ola, V'im tomar halo nena b'shmiyaskol, aren't you going to say, you're benefiting from, even though you're not benefiting from the animal directly, you're benefiting from a horn which is dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. So that should be me'ilah. Still, this is a big principle, mitzvos lav lahanus nitnu. Mitzvos were not given for the benefit of man. Meaning, now, still, we say, since God wanted to give schlius to Jewish people, God wanted to give us merit, so God gave us mitzvos. But to just have material pleasure from a shofar, from mitzvos, that's not what God gave the mitzvos for. The mitzvos are for us to fulfill them. They're not for us to have pure hana from it. So what's the iser of benefiting from something dedicated to God's temple? You're not allowed to have hana. You're not allowed to have pleasure from it. But mitzvos are not called pleasure. They're not material pleasure. So therefore, if you use a horn from an ola, it's not ideal, but you still fulfill the mitzvah because we say mitzvos lav lahanos nitnu. It's not an issue of me'ila because there's no real benefit in terms of material pleasure happening here. Lefikach, therefore, moder haniya mishofer. Let's say I make a neder. I swear that I'm not going to benefit from this shofar that Eddie's using at the minion or whatever he's, any of the two shofaros that he might have on the side there. I swear I'm not going to have any benefit from them at all. Still, Mutter lit koa bot kia shel mitzvah. I can still, or even if Eddie says it himself, he can get up there with the shofar and still blow it and be yotzei the mitzvah. Because mitzvos lav lahanos nitnu, mitzvos are not given for our own pleasure. They are given to fulfill the words of God. Ad kan dvarav. That's a very packed Rambam right there. So what Rasalvachi is going to do now is point out that there are certain things which he said, Ram says, absolutely, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. And then there's things that are, ideally, you don't use it, but if you use it, you're still yotzei the mitzvah. Ukvar amdu al shitas Rambam, maishna mutar hana de mutar lo lechachia, let's call it kia shel mitzvah. What's the difference when I swear that I'm not going to benefit from a shofar, that I'm still yotzei the mitzvah in the end of the day? Ki mitzvah slav lahana sitnu. And when it comes to a shofar of an ola, I can't use it lechadchila. So here, for moder hana, you are allowed, this is actually a category, this is the opposite, I didn't give this category yet. Moder hana, he doesn't even say it's ideally you don't use it, but if you use it, you're yotzei. When it comes to moder hana, you actually can use it completely lechadchila. If I swear I'm not going to benefit from the shofar, it's not that we say try to find another shofar that you didn't swear you were not going to benefit from. You can use this shofar, A-OK, Licharchila, Yotzei L'chol Hashitos. But when it comes to a shofar that I take from an Ola, from a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, that ideally you shouldn't use. So he wants to know, Ubishlam shofar shalvot azara nichamadi netokei Licharchila. It makes sense that Rambam says when it comes to a shofar from Avodah Zarah that was taken from some sort of idolatrous purposes, that you shouldn't use because lechachila. Why? Because it's mias. Because it's disgusting to use something that was used for idolatrous purpose and now use it for a mitzvah. Aval b'shofar shel ola lama leitakei lechachila. But a shofar from an ola, why should it be any less than moder hana? It's the same principle at work here. The same reason I'm allowed to use a shofar that I swear I'm not going to use is because Mitzvah Slav Lahana sent new. So too, the same principles here. There's no me'ila when I take a shofar from a karban because Mitzvah Slav Lahana sent new. So why one am I allowed to use lechachila and the other one I'm not allowed to use? What is special about the mitzvah or about the iser of me'ila? So comes along with Salavachik and answers, and this is where we get very brisker. There's two dinim, there's tvei dinim, two dinim in what happens when you are mal, when you commit an iser mi'ila. Vanira deb iser mi'ila yeshnei inyanim. Aleph, iser hana, which is what we talked about already. When you're mal, you are benefiting from God's property, not from your own. But number two, iser gezel min ha-hekdish. In addition to benefiting, you're also being over an iser of gezela. This is a form of theft from the Beis HaMikdash. So since those two facets exist, let's ask ourselves, what does the mitzvos lav lahanos nitnu actually solve? Vim ke nir da did the mitzvos lav lahanos nitnu, Eino mata lechachila ela klabi iser hana. So what's Mrs. Lava Hanasin to tell me? It tells me that, true, I'm getting benefiting, but I'm not getting hana over here. So you know what that does? That alleviates the issue of getting hana from Hekdesh, from something from the Beis HaMikdash. Mrs. Lava Hanasin says, I don't get hana, so that alleviates the hana issue. Doesn't say anything about the theft aspect. I'm still stealing from God's property. So I know it's just a benefit. It's like the pleasure that you get from it. So as far as pleasure is concerned, Mrs. Lav Lahanas Nitnu, great. I'm not considered benefiting from the Beis HaMikdash. But still, when I use this shofar, I'm still stealing it from God's karban. It's God's sacrifice that I'm stealing it from. Yeah?
You have the animal. It's being a korban, right?
Yeah.
What would normally happen to the horns?
So this is a karban ola. So it seems, if I'm not mistaken, the entire thing actually gets put on a mizbeach and goes up.
So the whole animal.
I believe so.
So the owner who donated the korban removed the horns before Shechem.
I don't think the horns are going to... Oh, so I think it's before they put it on the mizbeach. But the point is, once you say, I dedicate this animal for Hekdesh, even before I even bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, it becomes the property of Hekdesh. So I don't even need to do
but
it before.
Nobody benefits from it.
What was that?
Nobody benefits from it.
Correct. Because that's what's special about a Karban Ola. Okay, right? So a Karban Ola is completely brought to Hashem. That's why I think he picked that example. Because you could say if it was another kind of Karban, which he does deal with later, we're just not going to go to it, maybe you give a Svara that...
The priests just don't want it.
Right.
They're giving it up.
Right, so you could say that. So I think that's why I picked a Karban Ola. That's a good point. Now, okay, fine. So Vimke near the din to mitzvah the hanus nitnu eno matel lechachila klapi isarna vashemehai time moder hana muter letkoa lechachila. And since when it comes to swearing, I'm not going to bet, taking an oath, I'm not going to benefit from the shofar. That only has the hana dimension, and that's why lechachila you could use a shofar that you said I'm not going to benefit from. I think someone's at the door. Ulam klape iser gezel, ein zemater klal. This doesn't help when it comes to an iser gezel. The sof sof shofar shel acharu. At the end of the day, this is still somebody else's shofar. Ve'ino yochol l'shtavish bo. You can't use it. But Ram says you could use it, right? Ram says that you could use the shofar at the end of the day, just not lecharchila. So for that, we say, "Umashi yotzei b'diavad ha'mishum sham mitzvahi b'kol v'ein b'kol din gezel." Avol etze meisat kia bevadai osar mishum gezel k'mo b'shofar gezel. So lechachila, you shouldn't use this shofar. Ideally, you shouldn't use the shofar because it is a shofar that is stolen. But despite the fact that it's a stolen shofar, Ram said in the halach already that a stolen shofar shouldn't be used lechachila. But it can be used b'diavad, it can be used ex post facto. Why? Because the mitzvah is in the shmia. It's in listening to the shofar. And as we said, as Ram says, that a kol, a sound, is not something that manifests itself physically that could be stolen. I can't make, the way you make a kinyan on something, you lift it, you acquire it from someone else, you pay, well, paying, depending on, that's the sugya of itself. But there's no sort of acquisition in a halacha over
possession,
sound.
No possession.
What?
No possession.
Right. You can't possess sound. I can lift this fork over here and acquire it. The sound. I can't. You know, you're talking now. I can't acquire that.
Would
so,
Megillah be the same thing?
Wouldn't what?
Megillah.
If you steal Megillah.
Because that's the Shema is the Megillah, right? So you're just hearing it.
Ah, okay. So if Megillah is the mitzvah of listening, so we have like a similar kind of sugya over there as well. There's a similar kind of chakira right. Going on there too,
right.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. Anyway, so we're gonna end the piece over here. The important takeaway here is that the mitzvah is listening to the kol shofar, to the sound emanating from the shofar, not the blowing on the shofar. And based on this Rambam, we're going to now see another Rambam, which seemingly contradicts himself. And why should I give it away? We can see it ourselves. So the staples are on the wrong side of the page. I keep forgetting to remind the office manager that the Hebrew document should have the staple on the other side. So this is the page that we're on over here. Siman Tesvav, Ole at the bottom. We're not going through everything as usual. So now, going a few simanim later in Ahari Kedem, there's another piece which is entitled Begidrei Shmias Kol Shofar. And this is where we really jump into it. The last half is cut off at the last line is cut off at the bottom, which is fortunate because I brought my actual sefer with me. Beshita Sarah Minya Kavashameh. Oh, sorry. Yes, okay, good. Beshita Sarah Minya Kavashameh Mashmia. Kasava Rambam. So now we're going to look at another halacha. We just saw Rambam before. We're going to see another halacha of the Rambam, which seemingly is contradictory to what he just said. Kasava Rambam Perik Beis Halacha Dal Mishofer. Hamasasik Betkia Shofer Lislame Lo Yatzei Chavaso. Let's say someone is blowing a shofar for educational purposes, trying to learn or teach how to blow a shofar, but without the intention to blow a shofar for the mitzvah, you're not Lo Yatzei Dechavaso. You do not fulfill your mitzvah. So too, the person listening to the person practicing blowing shofar, he does not fulfill his mitzvah. So if someone, a Baal Tekiah, is practicing before davening, he's practicing to make sure he knows how to blow the shofar well. If he doesn't have in mind to be yotze with that, to fulfill his mitzvah, and neither does the person listening have in mind, neither of them are yotze. But niskaven shomea lotze tzidechavaso. Let's, yeah.
The person listening to
the Baal Tekiah
can't be yotze unless the
Baal Tekiah
also.
Yes, precisely. So that's the next slide here in the Rambam. Okay. Very good. So I set you up for that one right there. So let's say, right? You can mamash write the Rambam yourself over here. So let's say the Shomea, the person listening, has in mind to be yotze his mitzvah. But the Baal Tekiah didn't have in mind to be yotze, to be motzi him. Or vice versa. Let's say the Baal Tekiah had in mind, but I was just half spacing out, and I didn't have kavana to be yotze when Eddie was blowing the shofar. You are not yotze mitzvah shofar until the Baal Tekiah and yourself both have kavana. The Baal Tekiah to be motzi, to include everybody, and you, the shomea, to be yotze de mitzvah from that person blowing the shofar.
But they're only focusing about the one who's hearing.
But he, what do you mean?
That sentence only applied to the one who's listening.
Right.
Because if the Baal Tekiah has in mind to fulfill the mitzvah, he's yotze. Whether or not the person is
yes.
has any in mind.
Correct. The shomea requires
so
the Baal Tekiah.
He be.
Yes. The Baal Tekiah. Correct. Correct. The Baal Tekiah would, but since the Baal Tekiah, as we established, is like a listener also, he's listening to himself, he also has to have kavana when he's blowing it.
Yeah, but his yotze does not require that another person
yes.
also be yotze.
Correct. Yeah, precisely. I agree. There's actually an interesting tshuva I was looking at from Rav Asher Weiss regarding, there's a general halacha. Let's say I'm at the minyan and Eddie decides, I really don't like Moshe Kurtz and I want to be motzi everybody else, but I don't want to be motzi Moshe Kurtz. So the question is, do you fulfill? Is everyone else yotze their mitzvah? All right. So there's a general halacha that if a shliach tzibor wants to be motzi everybody, but so this is where it comes up. Like, there's a question A about a Baal Tekiah, if he only wants to be motzi everybody but one person, and then there's a question also. Let's say a shliach tzibor when davening wants to be motzi everybody but one person. So the Rama seems to think that in that case, that a person if he only has in mind for one person but not for everybody, then nobody's yotze at all. And the question is how vast those implications are. So that's just interesting. So in case you ever find yourself as a shliach tzibor, a Baal Tekiah, it would be a good idea, if you're gonna if you're going to take revenge on somebody, don't do it that way. And then the Michas Asher of Asher Weiss points out, he's like, hey, you know, how awful it is that on Rosh Hashanah itself, when we're supposed to be doing mechila, we're supposed to be forgiving people, we're supposed to be trying to do tshuva, that's when you're trying to get back at somebody, right in the midst of the shofar, right in the middle of Yom HaRayu Davening, you're going to say, I'm going to get that guy. You know, that's just the lowest of the lowest. That's what he says. So
everybody's human.
Yeah, everybody's human. All right, so it's good that that we should probably have kavana for everyone to be included.
Take off the
balcony. Yeah. otherwise, maybe everybody might suffer. But that's also another, not exactly really halachically, but a similar theme with Birchas Kohanim as well. That we ask that the Kohanim bless and say be'ahava, that with love. So their Kohen is not supposed to go up there and say, I'm only going to bless some people, not bless other people. He's supposed to bless everybody. So similar theme there as well. Anyway, back to our feature presentation. Upashnus, Shitas HaRambam, Valpia Olam Yisugis HaGemar, Rosh Hashanah, near the Shitas HaRambam, the Mitzvah Srichas Kavana. Another famous machlokus is if Mitzvah Srichas Kavana ain't Srichas Kavana. When I do a mitzvah, do I have to have kavana that I'm fulfilling this mitzvah? So let's say I'm shaking lulav, just to take a different thing out there. When I shake the lulav, do I have to have kavana? Hareini muchan mezuman lekayim mitzvah lulav, right? I'm doing this to fulfill the mitzvah of lulav? Or is it enough that I just pick it up? Technically, I don't even need to shake it. The moment you pick it up into the air, that technically you're fulfilling the mitzvah with the lulav and esrog. So do I need kavana or do I not need kavana? It sounds like from this Rambam that you need kavana for mitzvos. Because he says the Shomea and the Baal Tokea both need kavana. However, but in Hilchos Pesach he says, Ochel matzah below kavana, yotzei decho vaso. So why is it when it comes to the mitzvah of matzah, if I don't have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah on Pesach, it's still sufficient. I still fulfilled eating the mitzvah of matzah. What's different over there? Anybody want to wager a bet? Anybody want to give a shot at it? Why, when it comes to matzah, if Ram holds, I usually need kavanah to fulfill mitzvahs. Why, when it comes to matzah, do I not need kavanah?
We were just learning this in the Daf Yomi yesterday, so says that I'm cheating a little bit. But if you're actually
perfect.
Doing something to fulfill for yourself, so you're eating, the actual eating is the mitzvah.
Ah, okay, very good. So, viewing the Haran Vakas and Mishnah, Shekasu, the Shani Matzvah, tell me if this is what you're going for. Matzah is different. Not matzah specifically, but food items are different. Shekhinana, because what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah here, the mitzvah dafka, is to have hana, is to benefit. You're supposed to benefit from the matzah, just to have hana from it. Umini dachil lo b'idin kavana. When you're eating, you don't require kavana. Because the mitzvah is to have the benefit, not the kavana in it.
The matzah at the Seder is to have benefit?
So it seems the mitzvah is to... And I'll give you a halacha that explains that. There is an isser, not isser, there's a disqualification called achila gasa, which is, achila gasa usually means, it means being gluttonous, basically. It means being gluttonous. So let's say I eat more than I need to eat. I stuff my face. So that's called achila gasa. So it says in a Gemara that achila gasa could disqualify, there's implications both ways, whether achila gasa could disqualify you from fulfilling the mitzvah matzah. Let's say I'm full, but I still eat matzah, do I fulfill the mitzvah? So Rabbi Tav says that there are two levels of achila gasa. Level number one is, yeah, you know what? I ate enough that I could go until the next meal, and I don't need to eat more. I'm full. But you know what? I have a little extra dessert. So that's one level of achila gasa. It's not a good way for your health, but it's okay to do that. But achila gasa to the point where you eat so much, if you eat any more, it's going to make you nauseous. You just can't eat any more. If you're at that point and you put matzah in your mouth, you eat the matzah, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. Because that's not called achila anymore. Achila comes within the definition of achila, of eating, you're benefiting from the food that you eat. So obviously there's higher religious, spiritual dimensions beyond just feeding ourselves when we eat matzah. But in order to actually fulfill the mitzvah, it has to be done as an achila, as a eating, which by its very definition, includes some form of bodily benefit from it.
Well, that's his point, right? That if it's ta'achila, you're actually doing it, so mitzvot tzvichos kavana are not, but when you actually have the achila, this is in brachos.
Right.
So then the achila itself is...
right, hagufa, this is right. The mitzvah.
Yeah.
However, ulam harama magid, sham niskash b'chitza sarama magama tur, nistavik adats saramam, im datu nisirus kavana, im nisirus kavana. So now I can say based on its answer that Rama holds you need kavana. Matzah is an exception to the rule because you don't need, because food doesn't require kavana.
How do we ask him about like that mitzvah tzichos kavana?
So I think we go with this is like a sugi that comes up. I think we say tzichos kavana, but even within that machlokus, there's certain mitzvos that actually
like
take
Shema, I know
so Shema right. So Shema is like the machlokus that's given over there because Shema. So there's different kinds of kavana, right? This is he's going to elaborate over here in paragraph in Beis over there. Os Beis. Basically, what kind of kavana am I supposed to be having? Am I having kavana to be yotzei a mitzvah? Or when I'm reading the Shema, I'm having kavana about what I'm saying. I'm thinking, Shema Yisrael, listen Israel. So that's not kavana to be yotzei a mitzvah Shema. That's kavana to know what the words are, the peir shamila of what I'm saying. So there's different kinds of kavana that somebody can have. So when it comes to Shema, even if you say that mitzvahs don't require kavana, still you require it for Shema. Also, another point for mitzvahs kavana, even though we say mitzvahs kavana, the assumption is when I pick up a lulav, if you were to ask me, well, why did you pick it up? I'd say, to fulfill the mitzvah. Oh, okay, good. So that's your kavana. If I'm blowing a shofar to practice and you ask me, why are you doing it? I'm saying, to practice blowing shofar, then it shows my kavana was not for blowing shofar. So you say mitzvah srikas kavana. Yeah, I have kavana. I'm not saying, here I am about to fulfill the mitzvah of shofar, but that is undoubtedly what I'm thinking in my head as I pick it up.
Yeah, that's everyone else holds mitzvahs in Shrikos Kavana. The Rambam happens to be in the Gemara.
Right.
The whole problem was that he was required.
Against, right.
He was requiring Kavana.
So Shulchan Aruch cites both opinions over
right.
here.
But
yeah.
I think at the end of the day, mitzvahs in Shrikos Kavana.
Okay, so I'll take your word for it.
All right.
Isn't though saying the bracha just indicative of kavana?
Okay, good. So now, the thing is, when you're sitting in the congregation, we're not the ones making the bracha. It's usually the Baal Tokea is making the bracha before he does, or maybe there's a chazan, you know, the rabbi or somebody's making a bracha for it. But not everyone in the congregation makes the bracha. We listen and we're yotze.
Maybe a different situation.
Yeah.
Give me a different situation. You just went over that you only have to hear 30 blasts. About the person who comes in who missed the first third. Missed the bracha, missed the first third.
Yeah.
So that person has to have intent that he's relying on my presumed bracha and my blama to be yosef.
Right, so he already missed the bracha before it.
He's not saying it, he's not hearing the bracha, or otherwise, I don't know, maybe it is that he has to say, I'm trying to remember, maybe he has to say his own
drop
at that point.
But in the case that the person walks in and he's in the Vatikia is just practicing.
No.
Right.
Not this situation. I'm talking about on Rosh Hashanah. In Shul, the latecomer.
Right. So,
but I'm not sure the person has to make a drop.
I think he might make his own drop. I think he would have to, because there's a question. Let's say, after davening, there's someone who couldn't make it to Shul.
No, that for sure, because I've then finished.
Right.
So,
but you're not going to remake your bracha.
No. But that's why he has the person after shul or at home definitely has to make his own bracha.
Right.
Now I'm not sure though the gray area. I don't know. They've never made any announcement that anybody who's coming in late should make their own bracha.
Interesting.
So I don't think that's
my,
the case.
I
think they rely on my bracha.
So my intuition is that you would make your own bracha, but actually let me look into that so I can be prepared. I think it makes sense to me because they didn't hear your bracha. So the mitzvah, you're supposed to make a bracha on it. But let me look into that.
Yeah.
You're saying maybe the
so
just the as long as the Baal Tokeah.
But because it's a subject, you wouldn't make it.
Well, it would be if you came in and you didn't know the halacha, you would have a suffix, but here we have the opportunity for us to look up the halacha before we actually have our show, so we could. So it's not really a suffix, right? It's
Efshar Avar.
Thank you.
Once I finish blowing.
Right. Right. So once you
You both have to tell me that I make blowing for them.
Right.
And then they make the blowing.
Oh. Okay. Sorry, let me look into that because when I give like the quick 30-second what people should be doing, I'll make sure to throw that one in there, even though it wouldn't help because those people would already be there.
Actually, go into the announcements. To the shul before.
Okay, good.
Before Rosh Hashanah.
I'll try to make a note of that.
You have to speak to Rabbi Weiss.
Yeah, it's his call.
What was that note to make the bracha? If you
come in late, should you make a?
To be determined.
Right. So we're gonna determine. Rabbi Weissman gives the psak here, not myself.
Not so sure.
Gotcha.
All right. So moving on. So now, some people don't buy this answer, and they need to figure out, does Rav hold Srichas Kavana or Mitzvahs in Srichas Kavana? So the question is further compounded with a Mimon of Shach, which means either way you slice it, we got an issue. Oli Yishla Ayin B'shitas Aram, D'ha D'shitas Aram D'ha Mitzvah Ima Ma'asah Atzkiya B'shofer, El Hashmiya Greda, Mkane Lashema Baina Kavanas Mashmiya Bashofer. Question is, if Rambam, let's say Rambam holds that, okay, so we're gonna give two possibilities. A kol mitzvah hila shema kol shofar belvad, if the whole mitzvah is to listen to the shofar, then vitisagi with kavana shamea belvad, gama mitzvah srichas kavana. So then why do I need kavana of the Baal Tokea to be motzi to include everyone in his bracha and in his blowing shofar? If the mitzvah is on the listener, not on the person blowing the mitzvah, not the person blowing the shofar, why do I need a Baal Tokeah's kavana? I don't need his kavana to be motzi me. I just need my kavana to listen to him. If the whole mitzvah is listening, we just need my kavana. Why do I need his kavana? Then the mitzvah, and then the other side, the mitzvah's ainu sirus kavana. If I don't need kavana to fulfill a mitzvah, then sarachian lamali kavana shamei mashmiya klal. Then why do I even need my own kavana? Forget about the Baal Tokeah's kavana. I don't need to have kavana. So if Ram holds Mrs. Ein Srichas kavana in theory, then why do you need kavana to listen to the shofar to be yotzei the mitzvah? So either way you put it, it's not going to be good. There's we got two evils, and it's the worst of two evils. So we don't know what to say here, except, and I think we'll conclude with this answer. Rav Soloveitchik cites his grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the hero of Brisk, who will give us, of course, some sort of maybe a chaki or some sort of answer to understand this. He says, "Kosav," lots of titles for his for the grandfather. Shehiksha amai beina kavana shomea mashmiya b'shofar. Hamitzvah l'shma. This is our question. Imkain lo bina klal tkiyas mashmiya shetitztarif legabe hashmea. V'tire it's b'sheyafan. There are two answers he gives, which really become one answer. Aleph, da'af t'kiyam ha-mitzvah ha-vishmiya, even though the fulfillment, this is important, we have to be medayik in the precise words, that the kiyam ha-mitzvah, the fulfillment of the mitzvah, the way you fulfill your mitzvah, is by shmiya, by listening. Mikol mako ma'isa ha-mitzvah ha-vitokeyam, the creation of the mitzvah, the action of the mitzvah, is the blowing of the shofar. Lafikach beinan kavana shomea mashmiya. I need the kavana of the Baal Tokeah to create the maisa mitzvah, to create the mitzvah action. But then I need the kavana of the shomea, the listener, to fulfill the mitzvah that was provided for him by the Baal Tokeah. Beis the below kavana shomea mashmiya havi hashmeya stam misasli the usa klum. And then he also throws in that if there's no kavana here, it's like you're being misasik. If you don't have kavana to fill a mitzvah, it's just as bad as the guy who's on the side over there practicing shofar without any intention to be yotzei the mitzvah. What does that mean? Next paragraph, and we'll wrap up, I think, with this. But emesh shnei tirutzim mitzdarfim l'chada tirutza. Really, he's giving one answer. The shmiya ba'atzma lo havi ma'asa klal. Listening is not an action. There's no action of listening to something. It's just me sitting there and paying attention. That's not an action in the eyes of halacha. Ubeina letzkiya lemaisa mitzvah. We need someone to blow the shofar to create a mitzvah action. Mitzvahs require actions. So to make the mitzvah action, we need someone to blow the shofar.
to bli hatzkiya mikri eino osa masa mitzvah klal v'havi misasing, and therefore he needs kavana to create the maisa mitzvah. Harei l'divrei agrach d'menogei l'kiyum lo bina klal kavana shemeya da kiyum chal ayde hashmiya. So the listening creates the kiyum. V'rak l'maisa ha-mitzvah tzrichim l'kavana sashmiya. Why? This is important. Kidei she'itztarif ha-shomeya l'maisa ha-mitzvah d'hatzkiya. Because what happens is basically the Baal Tokeah creates the Maisa Mitzvah, and then the listener wants to fulfill the mitzvah, do the Kiyum Mitzvah. So what happens is their Kavanas kind of join both together. So the Baal Tokeah creates the Maisa Mitzvah. He has Kavana to create a bona fide Maisa Mitzvah. And you, the Shomea, has your Kavana. And you can almost think about like these two Kavanas coming, emanating from both people, and joined together and being Mitzdarif, and creating a network right there. So that this is like his intellectual acrobatics over here. So that when I'm listening to the Baal Tokeah, I am using his Maisa Mitzvah, his Mitzvah action. And then I have kavana to be mekayin mitzvah through doing that, and that's why even the Rambam, even if you would say he doesn't require mitzvah tzrichas kavana, when it comes to the mitzvah of shofar, the way to join up the maisa mitzvah, the action mitzvah, with the kiyum mitzvah, the filling mitzvah, is for the Baal Tokeah and the shomea to have kavana at the same time. That is his general approach, and then he does add on one last part over here. Should we do that? He adds on, so in regards to what Rav Chaim said, Dalvi the Kiyah mitzvah shofar hushmiya mikol makom ma'isa mitzvah utkiyah nearly lahavi raya mehadar nechleko rishon im avarchem betko olishma. So this comes back to our question from the beginning of the shiur: is the mitzvah? Do we say in the nusach habracha is a mitzvah litkoa b'shofar or is it lishmoa kol shofar? Right. I'll give you a hint. It's the latter. Lechora tzarich iyan. Do we say the mitzvah when we make the blessing, the bracha, do we say it's l'shmoa or l'tkoa, to listen or to blow the shofar? The question is, according to the Rambam, what's the whole machlokus over here? What's the machlokus of what to say if the mitzvah is shmia, listening? Obviously you say it's l'shmoa, not l'tkoa. So the answer is, it works even if you hold the mitzvah l'shmoa. Why? Based on what we just said, Baram lefi divrei hagon zichet zagle bracha near the had nimsa de meisa ha mitzah who had tkiya v'rak yuma chal ayde hashmiya v'zehu de nechiko ma anu mavarchem al meisa ha mitzah or kiyam ha mitzvah. Question is, do I make the blessing on the meisa mitzah or do I formulate the liturgy based on the kiyam mitzvah? So if it's a kiyam mitzvah, then it's a shmoa, which is what we do. Or if it's litkoa, then if it's about the maisa mitzvah, then it's litkoa. So even within the shita, it makes sense that the rishon would have a machlokus. Anyway, we pass in the mitzvahs to listen. Thankfully, we have very skilled Baal Tokeah here, and so hopefully we'll be yotzei mitzvah. Hopefully they'll have us all in mind and not try to exclude anybody with any vendettas. Were you here for the tshuva that I mentioned before?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm sure that's the case over here. We all have wonderful people here in Plainview, and I hope that over the course of Rosh Hashanah, when we hear the shofar being blown, it will elevate the meaning of what we're doing onto a much higher level. You can think through all these sugyos, and maybe it'll even keep you busy. So you'll be so busy thinking about through the sugya, you'll forget to even have kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah. We should all be zocha to that. Not really, but... All right. Thank you all for joining. And was there a name for your grandfather?
Yaakov ben Yisrael Yonah Halevi.
Yaakov ben Yisrael Yonah Halevi. So this shiur is... Excuse me, this year should be a schus for Aliyah for Zeshama, and in memory of all the people he was motzi with his tekiyas on Rosh Hashanah in the past. Thank you.